Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Welcome to Prashant Nilayam. Welcome to Thursday Life. And welcome to this most happening place on the planet. The month of September is on, and the last few weeks we have only seen vibrancy, beauty, activity, sublimity in the mandir. Because we had so many celebrations. The Krishna Janmashtami celebrations are over, and then came Ganesh Chaturthi, and then came Onam celebrations, and Onam celebrations went on for 3 days, just like it used to happen when Bhagwan was there in the physical form. The same vigor, same music, the same quality of programs, the same enthusiasm to offer their love for Bhagwan, the devotees from Kerala, the devotees speaking Malayalam from all parts of the globe, every year converging to celebrate this day when we celebrate the Vaman Avatar at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. So Onam celebrations concluded on September 7, 2014, and now on September 21st we'll begin the 10-day Dasara celebration. So Prashanti is packed as always. The festival calendar of Prashanti is always alive, always so full of color, so full of significance. Believe it or not, there is not a day in Prashanti which you can describe as boring. At least for me, every day in Prashanti for me is exciting, it's interesting, something beautiful to look forward to. Every day unfolds for you something amazing. Just like it was when Bhagwan was there physically. Every day was a day of beautiful anticipation. Every day was a day of eager expectation. What is the Lord going to do today? Which way Bhagwan is going to turn during darshan? Where his eyes are going to fall? What amazing things are we going to see once he comes onto the stage? Which little boy is going to call today and bless? And which facet of his uncertainty we are going to taste today? When will he actually arrive? How long will he stay on the stage? And how many rounds will he take? Will he go outside? Where will he go? Whole every day in Prashanti was a day of such keen anticipation, such pining, such eager expectation. And at the end of all this, it was always joy. It was always joy because you saw a beautiful face of Bhagwan. Living with God is true joy. Living with God is what is divine romance. Living with God is what is true spirit of love, true spirituality, true joy, true freedom. And when I think of it, my life now in Prashanti is not different. Yes, his physical form is not there, but every day I come across something beautiful, something fascinating, something which simply fills my heart with joy. This heavenly Hamlet never ceases to surprise you, and it happens in the most unexpected manner. It can come from a person I have never met before and I just bump into him after the morning bhajans. It can come from a person whom I see every day, but never before had he told me something which he shared with me today. It could be a beautiful thought that just emerged in my mind as I placed my head at Bhagwan's sannidhi after the aarti. Or it could be some lovely feeling that just erupted in me while I sat there for bhajans. Or it could be a priceless opportunity that I saw after bhajans to go out and help someone who needed it the most exactly at that point in time. It could be something, it could be just a tiny gesture from someone, it could be a kind word, it could be a loving smile from a tiny taunt, it could be a hearty smile from an elderly devotee who's like my parent. It could be anything which just adds so much meaning to my day, and Prashanti is so full of such unexpected heartening surprises, such beautiful coincidences of life that happen in this cosmic place where there is so much of cosmic energy, the energy of the divine envelopes this sacred space on earth. Some of the most extraordinary experiences of life begin to unfold as you stay close to the most love-charged spot on earth. Something you never imagined will ever happen to you starts happening to you in your life, and in a manner you never ever thought. Prashanti is so amazing, and Prashanti is what it was always. Not a day in this divine hamlet is ever boring, is ever lackluster. Every day has something profound, something bright, something ennobling in store for you. So that is the magic and the magnificence of Puttaparthi, and this is eternal. Whether it is the month of September or October or November or December or February or May, Prashanti is always fresh, always so full of the highest vibration of the universe, pulsating with love. But this month of September, nevertheless, especially the date today, September 11, 9/11, in me rings a bell. And I'm sure 9/11 would be doing the same with many of you too, dear listeners. Yes, 9/11 is not a pleasant memory when you look at the world affairs. It was on this day, 13 years ago, 9/11/2001, that mankind saw one of the worst terror attacks on humanity, which killed nearly 3,000 people in a matter of few minutes. A series of four coordinated terrorist attacks caused at least $10 billion damage to property and infrastructure, apart from taking away mercilessly 3,000 lives. Four passenger airlines were hijacked by miscreants and rammed into the north and south towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. Another crashing into the Pentagon, the headquarters of the U.S. Department of Defense, and the fourth, which was targeted at Washington, D.C., going into a field in Pennsylvania. This is the sad story of 9/11. And today, America pays tribute to these nearly 3,000 victims as the public prepares to tour the World Trade Center site for the first time on an anniversary. The National September 11 Museum, which was open to the public today, as the area slowly becomes integrated with the surrounding streets again, this museum documents this one of the saddest moments of human history through its gut-wrenching artifacts and graphic photos of the attacks. But before the public is allowed inside, relatives of the victims will come together at the 9/11 Memorial Plaza for a somber name-reading ceremony honoring everyone of the people who perished in this tragedy. And during the ceremony, 6 moments of silence will be observed, marking the strikes on the towers, the strike on the Pentagon, on the collapse of the skyscrapers, and the Flight 993 which went down in Pennsylvania in the field there. And it comes after 2 blue columns of light representing the towers illumine the skies over Lower Manhattan in a vivid tribute on Wednesday night. So when you reflect on the stark chapter of human history, and think, how could this happen? How and why does man descend into such low levels of sensitivity for fellow beings, where we do not even think twice, forget hurting, we don't even pause when we are not hurting but completely destroying the lives of innocent people? And this happens time and again. Why? In fact, on last Thursday, on September 4th, 2014, Professor Venkatraman spoke about some of these things in the live program. On September 4th, he gave a special musing, and it was for a very important reason. September 1st, 1939 marked the beginning of the Second World War with Germany invading Poland, and on September 3rd, 1939, when Britain and France declared war on Nazi Germany, it became clear that it was indeed escalating into a world war, and nearly 50 million people died in the series of battles that constituted the war between 1939 and 1945. But the startling fact, as Professor Venkatraman mentioned, is that even after World War II ended, post-World War II, as many people have died because of conflicts as they did during the World War. More than 50 million people have died because of man's lack of understanding of the other person, because of man becoming heartless, because of man ceasing to listen to the voice of God within. And this is something for us to reflect on. If you see the perpetrators of such crimes, they are people who are highly educated, who are extremely intelligent, who are smart, in fact more smarter, much smarter than the average folks. It is just that because of some strange reason, they choose to use their faculties for something not constructive. And see what happens to humanity when the God-given capabilities are misused. And it is not as if people are evil. There is so much of latent goodness. It is just that somewhere along the way they were driven in a wrong direction. They were oriented in some other way. If you reflect on the education in the current times, there are two dimensions to it. One is what is taught in modern schools and colleges and is often referred to as secular education. It is this curriculum which fills the students' minds with information on literally everything that can be seen in the world outside, from science and environment to stock markets and entertainment. And this process provides skills and channels young minds to aspire for a life with a high standard of living, but shies away from mentioning values, mistakenly associating them with religion. In fact, for the products of this educational system, values and ethics are for the untutored mind. That is what they think. And there is this other dimension of education, what goes on inside the exclusive enclosures of madrasas, mutts and missionary schools. Here religious texts and practices are drilled into the unblemished minds to the exclusion of everything else by chauvinistic teachers. These students believe in their religion is jealous, but their understanding of its philosophy is often superficial. And this constricted approach to religious learning often fails to equip students with a broader perspective of the world and frequently results in creating fundamentalist attitudes. And if you look at the troubles that beset the planet today, be it nuclear proliferation, excessive consumerism, terrorism, or the menace of cyber crimes or money laundering, at the root of all these evils, there is not so much a lack of education, but one which is unbalanced. It is not lack of education, it is unbalanced education. An education that caters to the head ignores the heart. Education that trains students in technology but doesn't teach them tolerance. Education that develops competence but leaves compassion out of the scheme of things at learning. That emphasizes profit making but does not promote sharing and caring. And what humanity needs today is this new dimension of education where science goes hand in hand with spirituality, where technology is joined with human values, where information is coupled with intuitive experience. And this is where I feel the synthesized system of education comes to the fore. And this is precisely why Bhagwan way back in the 70s started the Sri Sathya Sai schools and colleges. In the 81 he unfurled the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and it's during this time that he also started the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School along with its primary wing. And today, almost 30 years have passed since Bhagwan started this school to train the young minds, the tiny tots, right from their prime, right from their impressionable age, to teach them values, to drill into them these sacred principles of truth and righteousness and love and peace. And what is heartening is the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School today is recognized by the government, by the Minister of Human Resources, Government of India, as one of the best schools in the country. It stands at rank 8th. Even though the school has been doing fantastically all these years, only now the government took notice, and it is the only rural school which is in the top 8 of the country. The other schools are in the cities, and in the other schools it is very different, because in the other schools they have so much of emphasis only on academics. But here is a school where academics is only one part of what happens in the system of learning, and still the students come out with such superlative results. I remember talking to the first principal of the school, Mr. Habbu, talking about the objective of the school. He said, "Our endeavor is to create balanced and dynamic personalities who are physically strong, intellectually sharp, emotionally stable, and at the same time spiritually advanced." That is the mission of the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School. And dear listeners, today I am going to play for you the voices of the students of the higher secondary school. Students who are currently studying and students who have studied almost 25 years back, and how they reflect on what they have learnt here. And how, if we have such students who are physically strong, intellectually sharp, emotionally stable and spiritually advanced, what sort of a world we will be creating. That is what we are going to ruminate today in this last leg of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is almost 9 o'clock, 8:59, 32 seconds. And today we're going to discuss the stellar heights of the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanthi Nilam. As I just mentioned to you, I'm going to bring to you a conversation that I had with three students, the current students of the school, just a couple of days ago. It was really heartening listening to what they're absorbing from this system of education. So without more introduction, I want you to listen to these young voices coming straight from their hearts.
So Sairam Satyam, what was the feeling when you heard the news that the school is among the top 8 schools in India?
The first thing was I was very happy to know this, and at the same time I was surprised also, because in any other school, along with academics, the full emphasis will be on studies. But when I saw here, so many departments are there, that all boys are working in that. They, most of the time, they'll be busy with their schedules, either with some activities or with studies and department work. But along with that, if they are able to do such a so good in academics also. So I was very happy to see that our school is in top 10th, 8th rank it received. So.
But how did it feel for you? I mean, you've been through it for almost now 1.5 years. And what do you think made it possible here, as you're saying that you are engaged in so many other activities apart from academics, and generally academics is the primary focus in any other school. So when your time is divided with so many activities, how do you think this happened?
Sir, when your time is divided in so many other activities, your consciousness of studying, that increases more, because you know that you have less time and you have to cover major of the portion. So now with more concentration, you will deal with that subject, and with less time, you will be efficiently working in that. So that is the best point, I think, because of which boys are able to study even more, sir, in that less period of time.
What has been your experience of being here 1.5 years? What is this? What is it that you cherish the most about this school?
The overall development of myself, as I feel, sir, along with academics, in every part of every field. So either maybe it's service activities or my academics or in any other co-curricular activities, how I am developing myself with Swami's grace, that is the most wonderful experience which I feel and change in myself, sir.
If you see yourself now and what you were 1.5 years ago, what are the different things that you see in yourself now?
The things are already there in an individual. Only it requires a place to polish them. All those service qualities and which Swami's grace are already there, but this place helps us to polish them, just like a diamond, as it's a stone.
And so, but what has been your experience?
When my previous school, I used to my major concentration used to be only on academics, but still I could not see so good output as a result. But here, being indulged in so many activities also, I am able to concentrate in my studies. So that is my personal opinion regarding this.
That is something new.
Something new for me.
Okay. And Bharadwaj, you are someone who has spent 10 years in this school, in this system. You were in the primary school and now here, higher secondary school. So when you reflect on all these years of being a student, Sai student, what is it that you would think you would carry with yourself when you leave the portals, if you leave the portals of the school? Anyway, you will have to either go to the university here or elsewhere. But what is it that you think you will carry with you when you finish schooling and march on in life?
The belief that Swami is always there by my side. Because many a times, like, I had these experiences which made me be like, When I was in primary school, when I was so small that I didn't know, means I was not very knowledgeable about God and etc. So, in primary school itself, I had some experiences, but I never knew so great. When I grow up and when I think about those experiences, I feel like, my God, this would have not been possible if Swami is not there by my side.
So, can you narrate one or two?
Like, in my 7th standard, means we came to know that we could give aarti to Swami and all that. So I was thinking like, Swami, please on some like important occasion, give me aarti chance so that my photo will be taken, video will be there. And Swami, please talk to me. I was continuously praying. Like, means what I was told in primary school is like, if you want something from Swami, just pray to Swami and with your full heart. So I was praying. And then I thought, Swami, just at least look at me and smile at me, if at all not talk to me. And I got aarti chance on the first day of Dasra. So I was like, okay, first day of Dasra. So my first part of the wish is fulfilled. And then I went, did aarti, and then sitting, and Swami came. And then Swami talked to me and the other brother who gave aarti with me for more than 5 minutes. And Swami asked, like, what's your name and all such things. So for the first time in my life, I felt like that was the first time Swami talked to me. Means various times Swami used to bless me and all, but first conversation, I felt so happy that Swami, means I'm telling my name to Swami, all that. Like at that moment, it was just some interaction with Swami, but when I grew up, like at present, when I think back about that incident, I feel like it's one moment which I cherish for the rest of my life. Like, and last year also, like this is what happened in higher secondary school. Last year there was this poem writing competition which was conducted, and I was like 2 days prior to that only they gave us a topic, and I was full time thinking, so what I'm supposed to write on that. And whatever idea I was getting, I thought, okay, this one, right, nice idea, nice line, I would write it, then again I would think, no, this is not nice. That I was putting my full effort, but I was not getting any results. And then I went to the venue of the competition, the prayer hall. Swami's chair was there. Every other place was filled, just right in front of Swami's chair, some spot was there. I went and sat there, and then I looked at Swami's chair and I thought, Swami, I've done what I can do the most. Swami, please, like, at least even, I don't want to get a prize, I just want to make one nice poem. At least I want to be satisfied by that poem. And then I just sat and put the pen on the paper, and suddenly, like, at least when I read the poem after I finished, I never thought, like, I would never at least write such a poem. And then amazingly, I got the second place in the competition, and I was like, yes, if you pray sincerely, Swami is always there by your side.
So that is what you want to take with you as you leave, that you have never...
I'm always, someone is always there by my side.
So you have that self-confidence. Wonderful. And when you look at the school curriculum here, and the extracurricular and the co-curricular, which aspect of all these activities appeals to you the most?
Aspect-wise, according to me...
You do so many things, right, from dawn till dusk. Your day is packed. So if you want to pick up one or two of these, which are the ones which you look forward to every day?
I look forward to every TSP program which we have, because that will be...
The talent search programs.
Talent search programs. And then I look forward to unit tests also, because, like, I don't know what the paper is, I've done my best. And whatever I write, means at least I'll know what I'm going to write, how I presented my effort through the paper. So those are the two most, like... In a week, at least I'll be most concentrating on this. The starting of the week, we have the talent search program, and the ending weekend, we have the unit test. So those two will be the most, like, every week I'll be looking forward to those two.
Well, rarely would you find students saying that we look forward to a test.
Means, by looking forward to a test, I mean, like, if at all I prepare thoroughly for it, then okay, I'm surely going
to do it. So the test is not a burden. The test is something, it's a welcome thing. It's a welcome challenge.
Not always. Like, if at all I didn't prepare, then I would be like, something should happen, that test should shift off to next week.
Okay. Wonderful. You were in the primary school, and now you're in the higher secondary school. So what is it that you brought with yourself from primary school, and what is it that you build upon what you gained there in this 5 years in higher secondary school?
Like, if you take extracurricular activities wise, in primary school, once in my 6th standard, I was asked to act. And I was asked to act as a boy who will be sick, and then he'll pray to Swami because he won't be able to come to Mandir, and then Swami will appear in the room and Swami will bless him. So first time, like, I never knew I had such talents. So first time I was given an opportunity there. And then, like, over the years, I was... I didn't know that I had those talents. I discovered that I had those talents through the various methods, and like I'm happy that I believe that I'm a good actor, and extracurricular activities is like from primary school till here that has been definitely, that's one thing which has developed from there till here over the years.
Wonderful. And when you think about the different elements of this school, you know, the different people who are with you, and the different facets of the hostel environment, what do you think contributes so much to your personality?
Talking about contribution, everyone, like, if at all I make a mistake, or even if I do something good, there are my teachers to appreciate or correct me. And classmates also, if at all, like, suppose think there is one game or something where I didn't play so good and I'm feeling very bad that I didn't, there are classmates who support you and tell you, no, you put up nicely, you are very good, we never thought you could do so nicely. So I feel like I cannot distinguish who is contributing, because everyone is contributing 100%+ actually to my personality.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much. And Vamsi, tell me, what is that aspect of the school? If it was not there, the school would not be what it is today, according to you.
I think the teachers, definitely, sir. This is one experience which I had recently, if I could tell.
Sure.
So I was sick that day. I had stomach problem. And I had come back early from school. I had taken principal's permission and I had come back from school. Warden sir had seen me and he had asked me what happened. So I said, sir, I have stomach problem. I went to my room and slept. And within a gap of 1.5 hours, warden sir came to my room at least 6 times from all the way. He had so much work, kitchen everywhere. Still within a gap of almost 1 hour, he came 6 times to my room. He saw me sleeping. The boys are about to wake him up. He said, no, don't wake him up. He's having stomach pain. When he gets up, let him come. 6 times he came and checked whether I was sleeping or whether I was awake. Finally, after that, in the night, again, when he saw me, he told me, come and meet me. Next day morning, again, he asked me, come and meet me. Almost 15 times, sir asked me how I was in a gap of almost 8 hours. Whether it was not something serious, just a minor stomach problem due to indigestion. Almost 15 times in a gap of 8 hours, sir asked me how I was. Sir gave me medicine, sir gave me tablets, everything. So I think that teachers are one thing that are, without the teachers over here, nothing would be possible.
Amazing. And looking at these teachers, what are the different things that have got instilled in you and that you think you would like to keep them as part of your personality?
One thing is that if you want to do something, you can always do. It happened in 10th standard. There was the construction of the new building, so they had taken all the debris and they had put in the ground, and we were not able to play, and they said that, okay, this is not going to go because it's all waste, where they can do, but boys are not having place to play. And then Venkateshwarlu sir, they just told, sir, somehow saw to it that, sir decided that boys should play, and somehow sir saw to it that all the debris, it was actually a very large area, in almost one day the full thing was cleared up, and by the next day full thing was leveled properly, and boys could play. Something I've learned from my teachers is that if you want something, you can do no matter what problems you have. If you want to do something for Swami, you will definitely achieve it. Swami will help you in it.
Wow. What do you think, where do you see yourself 5 years, 10 years from now?
I want to become a doctor, and many times actually something which happened even today, many times I have been faltering from this aim. In my 10th standard when I wanted to decide, I had almost thought that I was going to take commerce group, but then just the last 2 days before, I had told Swami many times I want to become a doctor, but just the last 2 days before the entrance exam, we had gone for a trip to the super specialty hospital, and suddenly seeing all that, I changed my mind. And the day before the entrance exam, I told sir, I'm changing from commerce to science, MBPC, and sir changed, and I actually got the seat. Again, even now, many times when I think I have left it, even today, past 10 days, I almost had forgotten about it, that I have to study sincerely. I was thinking, and just from the past 2 days, today I went to super specialty hospital, and every time I see super specialty hospital, I see the doctors. Again, it's almost like Swami is inspiring me, saying, yes, you have to come here. Even now when I went today to super specialty hospital, I felt that, yes, I have to study again sincerely and become a doctor and work in Swami's hospital.
So you want to become a doctor so that you can work here?
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic. Okay, now, again, you are someone who had the chance to study here for more than 10 years. So what has been those moments that you think brought some change in your life, in your perspective, how you look at things? What are those life-defining moments, if I may call them so?
Actually, for most of the people, they see the close interactions they had with Swami. But for me, it's a little vice versa. That I used to always feel bad. Swami had talked to me, but I used to feel that those life-changing ways Swami saved me from a car accident. Swami created a very beautiful, unique necklace. I used to think like that after Swami had taken his Mahasamadhi. But when I started thinking like that, I observed that after Swami had taken Mahasamadhi, I had so many wonderful experiences such that I could just keep on going for almost hours together. So many experiences, all which happened after Swami took his Mahasamadhi. And that has only increased my faith more in Swami, because I used to think that Swami has not given experiences before, but Swami says, I may not have given experiences before, but after I have gone, I have given you, which means I am still there. Even though my physical body is not there, I am still there. With those experiences, Swami has proved to me that He is still there along with me. That blind faith is there. Whatever happens, that Swami is still there with us.
Okay, so I think probably we'll end with you sharing one or two of those experiences that have happened after Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi, and which has just reinforced in you that He is always there.
One very beautiful experience which happened, I don't remember the exact date. It was during the anniversary of Super Specialty Hospital in Whitefield, and they had come to Mandir to put up a program. So that day I was sitting and they were showing a video about the doctors, and as I said, I wanted to become a doctor, so I was talking with my friend and we were seeing, I was inspired, but we were feeling bad that we also can't become like them, doctors and serve. So I thought, Swami, like a batch, we want to come and offer service in hospital, everyone, my batch together in hospital, when you will be there. So I was thinking, but I thought everyone will take different fields and all can't become doctors. And I was thinking, Swami, service as seva dal. The only time when everyone together, almost all of the experience come together, is during Swami's birthday. And I said, Swami, your birthday is but one day. How can we do service for one day and then go away? I was thinking like that, and by then they had started a song. It was a very beautiful song which had lyrics such as, Kahe bandhu mere sai ko janam maran mein, kahe bandhe sai ko is duniya mein. And I was singing, it's a very beautiful song. And the chorus high line was, Ab sai ke janam din honge, har din, har pal, har kshan mein. Which means that from now onwards, Swami's birthday will be every moment, every second. Just then I was saying, Swami, your birthday is but one day in a year. And Swami is saying, Arre Buddhu, my birthday from now is every second, every moment. And at that moment, I just understood as if Swami was telling that, yes, I'm still there. You asked me a question, I answered. But later, as I started thinking, it meant so many other things. Swami was saying, you want to do service, you have to do every moment. Because every moment is my birthday, you want to do service on my birthday, right? Do every moment. And this is one experience which I just asked Swami a question and pat came the reply. Even when I think about it, I get goosebumps. Actually, the story does not end here. When I made a wish to Swami, I said, Swami, this is an experience which you have given me. I want that song very badly, Swami. Please, somehow I want that song. So that was, I asked Prishti sir about it, and sir told me sir will get it, but I forgot to ask sir. So I forgot completely about it, but I had prayed to Swami, I want the song very badly. So when I had gone home, I didn't even remember about it. Suddenly one day my sister asked me to open her email account. So I told my sister, why do you want to open? I'll open it tomorrow. She said, no, just once open. I said, okay. I opened. As soon as I opened, there came a new mail. It was from one of her friends who had sent something about a Radio Sai clipping. She used to keep sending my sister regularly. And that one was exactly the song which they had sung for Swami on that day. And I saw it. I thought, wow, this song, I heard it. And I played and remembered that same song which I had asked Swami. Swami, please, I want that song. And Swami had sent it through a different way to me finally. This is one experience that happened. Another experience, last year during Ganesh Chaturthi, last year it was raining very heavily, and since there was construction work going on, the 11th standard chariot making was a little far from the hostel. So what happened was, the night before the Visarjan day, it was raining very heavily and there was almost about 1 foot of water, and the current went off because of the rain. It was raining very heavily, and the boys who were close by, they had a tarpaulin sheet to the hostel, so they could manage, but we could not. The current went off, we could not do any work, and we could not even go back to hostel. So everyone got very angry, because the next day was immersion, nothing was ready, and current went off. They started cursing the rain, saying tomorrow was painting. Everyone started cursing. We went back, it was almost 1:30, and some boys were still cursing, saying, why rain has to come now? It can come afterwards, right? Now tomorrow we can't paint. What will we show in Mandir to Swami? Like that, everyone was cursing, and one of the brothers said,
No, brothers, some sir had told me that we should not curse this rain. Any rain is sent by Swami only, we should not curse. So I was thinking, how can this rain be sent by Swami? But I forgot about it. So next day morning, 3 a.m, we had gone to paint. And that time also there was no current due to the rain. And that time I got really angry. I said, Swami, this rain cannot be a boon from you. It is definitely a curse. It is nothing. It's not doing any good to us. And I was thinking, the full day I was very angry with Swami, saying that, Swami, this is always a curse. It's not a boon. And in the evening, I had finished everything and all the brothers had gone to Mandir. While I was going, I saw one sir. He was arranging plates in the dining hall for the small boys. So I thought only sir was doing. I decided to go and help. Something was telling me, go to Mandir and see chariots. Why you want to simply go and waste time? You won't be able to see chariots. So I thought, no, sir is helping. So I went, I was helping sir. Meanwhile, in the meantime, another sir comes and they both started talking. And the other sir told sir, sir, every year boys go far away to some well to immerse the chariots. And this year that well has dried up, so they're going even more far away. So they have to take in a truck. But Swami has been so kind. He has sent so much rain that full Chitravati itself has got filled. And they are going to immerse the statues in Chitravati directly. And I said, Swami, morning I told you that this is a... How can this be a boon? It's a curse. And Swami told me, see, it is not a curse. It is a boon only.
So you know that whatever happens is always for our good.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
Wonderful. And in all these activities that... your day is packed with in primary school and which continues in higher secondary school, how do you think you are able to manage to study? How do you think that you and your brothers and sisters are able to excel so well?
There's one quotation, means a line which a sir had told, that change of work is rest. I never believed it, but actually it's true, because the only time when I have felt sleepy is when we have had long, continuously we have been studying just before the exam, and those are times when I felt the most sleepy. But the times when normal days, when we have games along with the TSPs, along with the studies, where we have different works, and those are times when I remember that even now I don't feel sleepy. I'll be getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll be waking up others, we'll study, after we'll have TSP practice, everything. But I don't remember sleeping at all during classes that day, or sleeping during Mandir. But the times when we'll be studying just before the exam for the full day, only studies, and those are the times when I felt the most sleepy. And I think that line which is that change of work is rest, Swami has told, it is very much applicable to our this thing. We have so many different schedules, different activities, so there's nothing like monotonous. It's like everything keeps changing, so you're never tired of the same thing. Nothing is boring, everything is interesting over here. When everything is interesting, we like it. And when we do with our liking, not just because of force, when it comes from the source, it's definitely going to be amazing.
Don't you think we have less time for academics here?
We have less time, yes sir, but we also have amazing teachers, because when I go out, some of my cousins, they come and ask me for doubts. And they are my seniors, and I explain to them, and they say, wow, how do you learn all such things? I tell them, no, my sir has taught me, and they say, no, this is all senior portion. And I think when we learn it, we never feel like it's senior portion. The way our sirs teach to us so amazingly, that in the class only we understand everything, and it's outside. My cousins tell me that sometimes the teachers don't even come, they don't even know how many people are there in the class, but here our teachers know every student, they know in which area he's lagging behind, in which area he's good, how they should take the class. For some students they take extra, special, they teach so properly that because of them, even if we don't have less time to study, to revise, we've learned everything so amazingly that the time later for studying is not required much.
Okay, so it's because of great teachers.
Yes, sir.
And it is because of so many activities that you actually study better, and you actually do better in academics. You have less time, but that's actually a boon.
Yes, sir, definitely. It's like the pressure is more, people may say, but we are interested, because when we have so many things, when you have great pressure only, then only you can excel more. I always felt like that. When we have more number of activities, then only we get the feel that we have to, yes, do something. And since this is all said by Swami, it's not that we have just put whatever we want. So when Swami has said, then Swami expects us, Swami likes that we get good marks. At the same time, Swami does not expect that if we get good marks, then we should sit from morning till day. Swami wants that we should do everything, yet we should be good. And if Swami is going to be happy, then we are ready to do it, definitely, sir. And if Swami wants us to do something, definitely he will help us. definitely he'll help us to complete the task.
Wonderful. And Satyam, you earlier studied in a different school, and you lived outside. And in the school, you are actually not allowed so many things that you would enjoy if you are studying in some other school, and or if you are staying at home. You don't have, I don't think, even 1/10 of the gadgets that you would probably enjoy if you are at your home. So do you miss all that?
No, sir, not at all. Because when we were there, our gadgets, our source of entertainment was those gadgets, sir. But when we came here, we found some other things which are which substituted those gadgets in the form of this TSP programs, in the form of service activities. So now I started taking entertainment through those things. So only that replacement has been done. Entertainment is here also. There also it was, sir.
So service is fun?
Yes, sir, it is a fun.
TSP is fun?
It's a fun, sir. When it is from heart, when you like it, it's a fun, sir.
So you don't miss playing video games? You don't miss the cell phone? You don't miss the TV?
Not at all, sir.
You don't miss the TV?
No, we never. Because, sir, at this point of time, you realize that point of time when you are sitting in front of TV, you are wondering and you are appreciating the on-screen things which others are doing. But when you are here, you are made to entertain others. So that is even more entertaining for you, to entertain others. So that is why I never miss those things when I came here.
So you... You yourself become a part of the joy.
Something like this. Yes, sir.
Okay, that's wonderful. How are your parents feeling after you come here? What do they say to you? Do they see anything different in you? Have they any time expressed anything of that sort?
Just they see is because usually almost 1 year you are here only. But when I went this time for summer vacations, I went to meet my old school mates. So my principal called me that time, and then she saw me. So looking at my appearance, you know, after some time she started crying. I didn't understand why she started crying at that point of time. Then she told Satyam, when you entered, I could see a different bright in your face. I don't know what it was. And then she started telling, see the condition of boys. Now everybody, you know, they are creating a terror in the school, and there is no peace among the boys. And when I see you, looking at you only, I could understand that which environment you are living. So when your silence itself, you know, defines your place from where you have come, sir, that is the biggest boon which we as a science student have. That looking at our appearance, only they can make out what is the schedule, or what is the hostel activities which are going through. So my parents also saw this, and definitely they saw these changes in me. Dealing with the situation in a very calm way, in a very peaceful manner, and in a very different outlook of that. So these are the changes that my parents saw in me, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
So that was the conversation with three current students of Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School who are in the 11th class, 11th grade, Satyam, Vamsi and Bharadwaj. And I think there is no need to add anything to what they have said about how they feel being here and what is it that they are gaining being here. It is so heartening to listen to students in 11th class having such wonderful understanding of life, gaining those characteristics that will make them such strong individuals once they step out into the world tomorrow. Ingrained into them is such fundamentals of life which will help them wherever they are placed in the world in the times to come. And after this, let me now take you and make you listen to three students who are now in the world. One of them is a successful businessman in Calcutta, Sai Kapoor. The other one is an orthopedic surgeon in the UK, Surendra Patnaik. And the other one is a colonel in the Navy, Colonel Jogendra Kar. All three of them finished schooling in Prashant Nilayam in 1989. And now, recently, all the students from the 1989 batch gathered in the school to meet their teachers and offer their gratitude to the teachers and spend time with the current students. They wanted to share with them about the profound moments and the lovely cherished memories that they have of being a student of Sri Satyasai High Secondary School. And I had this opportunity somehow to connect with just three of them. And we recorded a very beautiful conversation. I played the first part of it 2 weeks ago, and today I want to play for you the second part. In the first part, all three of them shared about how they joined the higher secondary school. You know, some of them in fourth class, some of them in third class, and so on. And the beautiful moment that they had with Swami in those early years of the school, and some of those impressionable moments where they experienced the love of teachers and how the teachers groomed them. And after all this, after talking for almost 45 minutes on these lines, then we moved on to what is that they gained in the school, which today is helping them in their career, helping them in what they are doing now as a person in the Navy or as a businessman or as an orthopedic surgeon. So let me now take you and play for you these three students, former students after the current students, to know what difference the Satyasai school, the Satyasai system of education does in the lives of those who pass through this unique system of education created, gifted by Bhagwan to all of us. So here is the rest of the conversation with Jogendra Kar, Colonel Jogendra Kar, Dr. Surendra Patnaik, and Mr. Sai Kapoor.
Okay, let us move on to something a little more serious. Now, having received all this, and you know, we all agree that the school contributed in many ways to building this integrated personality. Brother Sai Kapoor, can you just think about now, in a very real sense, in a very practical sense, what is it that you gain from all these years of being in the school? What are those different facets of your personality that took shape, you know, in those formative years, which you feel is what helping you today in your life, in your professional life, in your social life, in your personal life? What are those very, very salient facets of what makes you who you are, which you value and which you attribute to the days that you spent in the school?
I think to put it in just one line, to be a good human being. Mm-hmm. The other things will be okay. We have inherent patience. We have the values that we have to do the right thing. But ultimately, you know, when it comes down to everything, it's all about being a good human being. And yes, it's just being good to everything, to everybody. I know it sounds very philosophical and being a good human being or whatever, but in the small instances in life, you know, in very small, in your own very small ways, you can just try to do the right thing. Yeah. And I know when you do the right thing, you don't get results immediately. Mm-hmm. And it always seems a long way to go, because if you deviate a bit, you know, it could seem like a really lucrative shortcut. Mm-hmm. But at the end, you know, when maybe a year or 2 years down the lane, then you realize the mistake that you've done. So it's always the intrinsic values, as in like, just be truthful, because you're not being truthful to others, you're being truthful to yourself. Yeah. That's what.
That's amazing. When in your life as a businessman in Kolkata, how easy or difficult has it been for you to live values in your practical life? Because, you know, many times people feel that now if you want to be successful, you may not always be able to conform to all these principles of truth and righteousness in business.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
work. Mm. Real world is different. That's mm. what is the perception. What has been your experience?
Well, that is the perception, right? But in the long run, you know, like I said earlier, if you take a shortcut now, and ultimately, in the long run, you will see you're going to lose out on.
Can you give one or two instances where you took a particular decision or you chose a particular road, even though you thought that probably this is not what is going to give me returns in the short term, but this is what I would like to do because that's what my heart says?
I remember putting in a quotation for a big tender in one of the companies, and as there would be like four or five people filling in the tender too. So I lost out on the tender because the rates for my competitor would be maybe 10% lower than what my rates were. So ultimately what happens is, if the person is giving a rate that is 10% lower, he would give inferior quality to say maybe another, to save another 20%. Because then he would have to be driving around and he would have to be working his way around. Because he would have to keep some profit in that too, right?
Yes.
So ultimately what happens is maybe a year or a couple of years down the lane when the inferior quality of the material gets exposed. So then the company that has floated the tender comes back to me and tells me, okay, we want you to give me the material maybe at 5% or 10% at a higher rate as long as the quality is maintained. So, okay, at that point when I lost out on that order, I felt, okay, maybe I could have done that. Mm. Even if I would have quoted 10% lower, I would have saved money on it.
Mm.
But ultimately, it's not about money, you know. It's about how would you feel to yourself? Because to supply that particular item, I would have to cut my costs and I would have to cut on quality. I would have to do that.
Mm.
So ultimately, I would not be able to face myself in the long run.
Mm.
I know, it sounds very philosophical and all, but you know, at the end of the day, that works.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as you mentioned, even though you say it sounds philosophical, I would say it sounds actually more prudent and practical.
Absolutely.
That is the most practical thing
Absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. And this can only come, you know, after we have been totally, as how you say, maybe if I would say in Hindi, humare andar koot koot ke values bhar di gayi hai. You know, we've been instilled with values, they've been stuffed into us.
Yes.
And it's we've imbibed it in, you know, small, in different ways. In 8 years of my life here, with teachers like Prem Aunty and Muni Aunty and Habu Sir and Shivram Krishnaya and Sai Sir, and there are a lot of, you know, small things which are not bombarded to us directly, but in a very subtle way, we imbibe them. And then later on, once when we face these tests, these are the things that come across,
yes.
that come out basically.
Yeah. And as Brother Surendra mentioned, ultimately, you know, these are the things that stand you in good stead in life, because ultimately this is what probably differentiates you from other professionals or other people in society, isn't it, Brother Surendra?
Yes, absolutely. I think in our profession also, I think it is very important, and though having been lucky that having working in the UK, you are not exposed to those elements of corrupt practices, because it's more of a standardized health service there. But surely when you come back and you are practicing, you know from the medical practice which goes on in India,
yeah.
how much of unethical practice goes on. Come on, it is,
yeah.
why would this be deemed as a temple of healing, you know, when there is no cash counter and things like that. You know the amount of unethical practice. But it will not happen. The value which has been imbibed, I will not be able to charge or cheat somebody of a single rupee or a naya paisa, because it would be difficult to face yourself if yes. you have cheated on somebody.
Yes.
And I think it is not going to happen because of the value which these people have imbibed into us,
wow.
into that practice. So I think we've got a lot to take away from this campus.
Mm. Apart from values, are there certain traits in your personality that you feel is helping you today now as a doctor?
See, sometimes you are faced under difficult circumstances where the atmosphere becomes, I wouldn't term it exactly hostile, but not a comfortable atmosphere where you are working.
Mm-hmm.
So either you may not be having the facilities, or you may be forced to working with people who are probably not trained to your liking,
mm-hmm.
or you may be suddenly encountering a patient who is being more abusive.
Mm-hmm.
I won't use abusive. Who is being more authoritative and more sort of demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at that time, it is helping us maintain a calm and composed presence there. Because us losing temper or coolness at that stage will not be able to help us deliver our duties properly. Surely it is helping us maintain that composure, handle those sort of situations in a much better way, in a professional way.
I think the whole thing of always being very calm, because you know that losing a temper is not going to
help
anyone in any way.
In no way at all.
No
so
way.
It is not going to help in any situation, because
yes.
and when one person is angry, and if you are able to absorb that,
yes.
he gets less angrier.
Yes.
And things start diffusing. So
And these are things that don't come to us so easily. It needs years of practice to really build these things into our personality.
Yes, yes, because some of us may be inherently more prone to lose patience.
Yes.
Yeah, it's let's face that, because it's not. So I think that way it has surely helped us face these situations in life much better. The thing of giving service at whatever situation we have, you know, even if it may appear a more like a job, but that element of service
yeah.
is instilled even into that job-like atmosphere.
If can you substantiate that?
Yeah, thing is, if I'm working in a situation, I'll give some examples in the
yeah.
UK. It's not like here, you know, you finish sort of time. So you are working in an atmosphere where you have to finish. There are so many people on a trauma list, and we are supposed to do that.
You're an orthopedic surgeon.
I'm an orthopedic surgeon, so you are supposed to finish that number of lists. Now, because in the country, your time finishes, or theater time finishes at 5 o'clock, but there will be sort of sometimes elderly patients, and it happens on a regular basis. It's not on a very regular basis. You will have patients who are fasting from the morning to have the surgery. Now, everyone, many people, or I would say, okay, let us cancel it and do it. But I think that time, our education here is, because it's not possible for me to go away saying that I finished my time at 5 now. I'm sorry, I can't do the operation further and I will leave the place. Because nobody can force me to do that. I am within my rights to do that.
Yeah, legally you are.
Legally, no one can do that. But then it comes to the mind, oh, that poor little lady has not had a food from morning. So I think it would be unfair on my part for just staying 1 hour, 1.5 hours extra to keep her fasting another full day tomorrow and exposing her to the risk of being done second time because it goes on. So I think I've never gone to a situation that I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. My time is over and I'm going to go. I think it's very difficult to do that.
Wow.
I think that's where here, because of what? Because of the service-oriented teaching which we have got here.
Yes.
I don't think there is anything for me to gain or lose there.
Yes.
So it's not I'm being paid for doing that operation or I need to say that.
And even if you're doing your duty,
you do it in a more service-minded approach.
I mean, actually, all our duties are called as service, actually, if you see. You know, they're actually called service, but most often we don't even think of them as service. But I think that is how Bhagavan wanted, that everything should be done in that spirit of, the genuine feeling of actually trying to help someone.
Yes.
Yes. And doctor's profession is that way, a very, very blessed profession. Very
we are lucky because we do not have to go through various channels to serve.
Yeah.
I think we are first point of.
Yes. And whenever you do something, you really change someone's life in such a tangible, visible.
I think even a small like tap around a patient or a gentle smile, few kind words means a lot to the patient in their time of suffering.
Absolutely.
So, because I think all of us, if a doctor just speaks to us happily,
absolutely,
I think it makes a lot of difference because they are going through a emotionally turmoil or a emotionally liable period when they are not well. And it just gives us that opportunity.
One is to say how if doctor speaks nicely, that itself, you know, the patient already feels half
better.
Half cured.
It is very true.
Yeah, amazing. And Brother Jogeshwar, you are now a colonel in the Indian Army and you had always a disciplined life here. And so, when you reflect on the discipline that you had here and the discipline life that you had to continue now in a different environment, what thoughts come to your mind?
As a young child starting off, say, at 11 and a half years in 5th standard and continuing to till 12th, discipline which was instilled here, it continued further because just after 12th I joined NDA where
National Defence Academy.
National Defence Academy where you undergo 3 years of physical training. And prior to that, the interview itself, being from here, only we used to see few uniformed personnel, our friends, who used to come here and used to get inspired. And abusers, those patriotic anecdotes which our friends have already spoken, those used to inspire us. Those 4 days of interview, physical interview, like it starts off with psychological tests, physical tests. The selection itself is comprises of four into 24 hours. So whatever I had taken off from here, the mental toughness, like Sai sir was yesterday narrating, whenever we may have done a fault or not, but when we started, sir, we were told to keep quiet and go back. Again, we would try to reason it out something, so twice or thrice, and we used to go back to our dormitories and we used to brood over with our friends. But that mental resilience which was built.
Mental resilience.
Yes. So when we're in the fronts in the LOC, you're alone and something to decide. Some adversary or seniors, you give a call over phone and those tense moments you have to...
In war.
Yes. So those things helped.
Yeah, the mental toughness.
Yes, mental toughness which has been built, the discipline. In army, they call be in the right time, in the right place and in the right uniform.
Yes.
And here we see a uniformed white.
Yes.
And the right time was already built.
Yes.
And the right place, we are always there.
All the time.
Wherever we were called. So that was already inbuilt and it helped those toughness. Like in NDA, within a month, I had to run 30 kilometers of cross country. But seeing our seniors running here, those marathons, and it had already inspired and I could take on in life.
Wonderful.
And we had cross countries and physically in the LCL environment, so we had to work for
LOCB,
yes,
India-Pakistan border. Yeah.
100 kilometers of long-range patrols, demining, then the explosives. So all this, what has been a part of our life from young child as 5th standard to 12th standard, it has helped.
Yes.
All the way.
In the feet. Now as a bomb in the mind.
Amazing. I mean, how Bhagwan used to always say that discipline has to come from source, not by force. And here, in some sense, the discipline was initially forced, but and as what happens, as you be in the system, you start liking it. And then, you know, it becomes slowly... It
becomes a part of you.
It becomes a part of you.
It becomes a big
bang.
Big source, yes.
And later, that discipline is the source which helps you in your life.
NDA training is tough, and a lot of my friends who had joined in, nearly 10% leave initially NDA.
Yeah.
But the training is physically tough, mentally tough, where, say, you are trained in a such a manner so that when you are a prisoner of war, you are... tough.
Yes.
So that's how the physical toughness is there.
Yeah.
But it helped me, whatever was taught here, really helped me, and it's held over last 25 years. And wherever I've I was just narrating, starting from north JNK,
yeah,
west, Bhuj,
Kashmir, yeah.
Bhuj, I was Bhuj. There during the earthquake there.
Okay. 2001 earthquake.
Yes, 2001. Okay. And we had moved to the forward areas post parliament attack.
Okay.
Yes, we were nearly 2 years, we were there.
Okay.
Then that was the western side, and in Tripura, Agartala, in the eastern side.
So you've been in many challenging
now down south, near Kanyakumari, so it's all across the country. And I've been lucky through His grace again. Only I think 10% of the Indian Army officers get a chance to serve in UN. So I was in Lebanon on UN for a year.
Wow. Fantastic.
It was His grace again, seeing the UN environment in the Lebanese side and doing at the world stage his duty again.
Yes, phenomenal.
Lovely. And way back in 2007, I got an opportunity again to be with the Lord. What are you doing? He asked in Telugu. I told Swami, doing your duty in the Indian Army. Good. Manchidi, keep it on. Bangaru.
Oh.
That was his words.
Wow. Amazing. And it's so heartening that your kids are now in the same school.
Yes, whatever I have always been telling, and most of us will vouch, whatever we are is because of whatever we have learnt and here. So in my 20 years, and the same teachers who have taught us, who were there a part of our life, Munni auntie, who is the principal still at this age, Warden auntie, and I'm lucky, her husband also was in Indian Army in the Corps of Engineers.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So she's still there. The kitchen in charge is still there, same also in the school, higher secondary school.
Yes.
They're still continuing. So I had the faith that my next generation, they can be put here and they can be guided in a similar manner. Whatever I've been able to achieve, they'll do better, and the facilities which have improved temporarily, they will be able to do better in the outside world. So both my daughters are under his care, I would say.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the best proof of what the system means to you.
Yes.
When you decide to put your own children in the same system.
So I have the faith that whatever I could achieve, like I told you, when I just entered, I was from Odia medium. I didn't know Odia. Yeah. That time I used to write letters because there were no phone calls. Every week we used to write a letter in English.
Yes.
And I started off, my friends helped me to write the English. I used to tell in Odia. And the teachers helped me. And whatever I've achieved is because of this place.
Yes.
So that's how, and I'm sure... Physically, he may not be there, but being in the service, in the LCN environment, I have been saved a number of times when
please do share one or two instances of how you feel his presence now. How do you connect with him now?
I remember vividly 24 December 2001, post the parliament attack, when the whole army was mobilized all across in the Western Front. We were, as a Corps of Engineers, it is our duty to lay the mines to enable the incoming forces so that they have to spend time to remove the mines.
Okay.
So there's a particular mine which goes off, it jumps off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It has got pellets and it can injure or kill all people within 300 meter radius.
Mm-hmm.
And we were laying those mines. I saw my troops facing problem because although they are giving training on dummy mines, live mine training is difficult, and we had an injury the previous night. Mm-hmm. So I took it on myself that the pins which were to be removed, I will remove it.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to...
Yes, because any incident that time, not, it progresses, it affects the further progress of our schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so that day, there are three pins which are to be removed or in that while arming that particular mine. And I was removing that third pin when by a fraction of a millimeter that the mine was activated.
Oh.
But you have to use a nanomillimeter to measure that much, and it got stuck.
Uh-huh.
And it is by His grace that had it gone off, all my troops and were laying wouldn't have been here. It's again, I always wear that ring, and it is that. And I've seen there are six cents when in the border, like avalanches comes, we get it through him.
Yeah.
That move down. Don't be here. There is a place where we're constructing a LC road, mm-hmm. border road,
mm-hmm.
where we drill holes into the mountains, and we have to fix explosives.
Mm-hmm.
And post that blast, the rubble that comes in, we remove it, and that's how the road formation is done in the LC environment.
India-Pakistan border.
Yes. So that day we pumped in, and luckily the previous night the other unit which were constructing another track, they had lost nearly... some jawans, I'll not mention the figure,
okay.
When the whole mountain face had come down.
Okay, because some soldiers lost their lives.
Yes, it was in numbers. So that stage was abandoned, and we had to realign this alignment to get to that post. And similar we had, but something came in my mind. Tell your troops to go behind that the dozer which was standing before blasting.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole mountain face came down, but because of we were just behind the dozer, we were saved that day. So it's His grace and His divine presence.
Which has helped me too, absolutely. And
my trips and which Wizardman command that you come this far.
And you've gone on one strike to another by His grace. And what comes to me is, at times you know of His presence very palpably, you know. But perhaps for every one occasion when you know that He has saved you, probably there are so many more occasions when you probably didn't even realize that He was working behind the scenes. He was always there. How has it been for you, Brother Sai Kapoor? I mean, feeling Him, how do you connect with Him and how do you feel Him wherever you are now?
He is working in all of us, and everywhere He is there.
See, because what you asked me, I totally relate with Him in that sphere. Because absolutely, if I am around today, how things just fell in place or whatever. For example, like, you know, whenever I have any important work to do, or if I am going out on any important work, maybe some business meeting or any important work as such. So after my morning prayers, the only thing I tell in front of Him is, see, I'm going for this work. So if you feel it's okay for me, it should happen. If you don't feel it's okay for me, it's fine. Even it would be whatever the work would be, you know. So I just leave it up to Him.
Yes.
So I don't ask Him, you please see that it, you know, help me out doing, no. I just leave it. If you feel it's okay, well and good. If you feel it's not okay, I'm happy with it.
So you're okay with whatever be the consequence?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I have seen at the end of the day, whatever happens, because it is going to be His will, whatever is going to happen, and it's going to be for my best.
You know that?
I know that. So I've never, you know, in so many years, I have never ever asked for anything. Mm. I've just asked, if you feel it's okay, whatever you feel okay, that should happen.
Okay. You don't even say, make this happen.
Never. Never.
Because we never know.
No, I never say that make this happen. I've never done that.
And I think when you have that sort of an attitude in life, nothing can discourage you, nothing can dispirit you, because you're always accepting whatever has
come. Absolutely. If it's going to happen, it's good. If it's not going to happen, it's good. So you're anyways accepting it both ways. So if it happens, it was His grace, so it was...
very good.
Yeah. And if it's not happened, it was obviously it was not supposed to happen, because there was something that was going to happen later on which I would realize.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Wow. I think that sort of an approach to life makes so much lighter, make your journey of life so much lighter.
Yeah,
amazing. So. And Brother Surinder?
What I can definitely say is, even in instances where you are not asking for help, or not help, or where we have tended to forget Bhagwan and got indulged in the worldly things or something like that, something or the other will happen which sort of makes you again remember that He is still helping you, and maybe it is the blessings of our...
He never gives up on you.
No, He never gives up on, even if you have given up on Him
in
instances of life which have happened, He doesn't give up across, you know. One thing I would like to share, you know, we were in a town in Somerset, and you know, To many people, it may be just coincidence. You know, it, as I said, it, I won't brand it as. But I know in my heart, what,
yes.
There was a, you know, watch, which a clock with Swami's photo. And for some reason, my kid was very small growing up, and it was facing towards the road. So just our flat was across a busy road, and there were like 2 years or something like that. And we were just going out to the market, family from upstairs and ours. His daughter was 6 months older or something. And then we were, for a split second, we were at the door was open. And for a split second, we had just, because we were thinking the upper family's, upstairs family's mother was there. So the two children will be there. And probably she just lost concentration for that, and she thought we are looking after. So I think it was, and then after some time, we hear a screech on the road. So it's like,
oh.
And when I look out of the window, see these two little kids are playing in the middle of the road. And 7 or 8 cars lined up on each side of it. Many times I had thought I should just switch the clock back towards our side. Not that Swami cannot look when he's not facing that side, but it just to probably remind me that time, you know, because that was a disaster waiting to happen. You know, anything could have really, you know, if you think of it, it's such a scary situation, you know. But the car spotted these two kids wandering onto the roads, and they halted, and everyone. I literally ran into the road and picked up the two kids and came out. And Swami's hand on that photograph is pointing towards the road.
Wow.
I think it was for the purpose. And I know many people may say it
so
is
So there was
point.
This clock on the road?
No, not on the road, on the window, but it was facing the roadside.
Facing the roadside. Okay.
For me, it was a reminder that yes, Swami, you know, people can put it as coincidence, you know, it probably happens. For us, it is not coincidence, because I know.
It's nothing like coincidence in life, I would personally think.
Yes, so.
For Sai devotees, it is coincidence.
Yes.
And.
Without any doubt, because there was a reason why, just on a physical form, why the photograph was facing that side. Or
yeah.
And so many things, you know, where we get into a difficult situations in life, where it becomes a bit difficult, you know, what should I do about that decision? Should I continue with the job there or this sort of situation? And he makes things happen. Through difficult times, he has made sure that you have progressed in your field.
Yes.
Be it with exams, be it with skill levels, he has made sure you get into the atmosphere.
Yes.
So I think that insurance which we have,
Sai
insurance, is working. Yes. Even if we haven't invested in it at all, somehow we are lucky to have actually have it. Honestly, that I think all of us just have it.
Yes.
Something which he just gives, I think, even if we deserve it or not.
Absolutely. And I think that is one thing, if you look at all the Sai students, the biggest strength is that confidence, that self-confidence with that capital S, when you know that, you know, there is someone else there, someone else.
And I think that's a huge factor. That is,
in
that
charge.
Is, you are not alone.
You're not alone.
You are not alone.
And so that gives you tremendous courage to go ahead and face life and accept and succeed. Wonderful. So it's been really lovely having you in the studio, and really the first 30-40 minutes when we were just reminiscing about those days
at school,
I think that was lovely. And then we moved on to being practical in trying to see how whatever you have learnt in the school is helping us in our professional life. And then finally we talked about feeling him in our lives, and which is so significant now, given that his physical presence is not there. Now every memory becomes a moment of inspiration, and every time you feel him, it really energizes you, and you are so strengthened, right, to take up anything new in life. I don't think there's anything that is challenging. As brother said, you know, if anything has come to us, then he will give us the strength to face it.
Absolutely.
And so that gives us the to take on life and in some ways become his messengers of his message and his love. Finally, so what is it that spurred all of you to suddenly come together for the silver jubilee of you leaving the school, the batch of 1989, suddenly decided to come? And you had, how many of you were here?
Between 25 to 30 people.
Yeah, so.
Almost a third of the class was there.
A third of the class. I mean, and each of you are in different parts of the world.
I think considering the constraints in this day and age, for so many people to have made it, I think is a commendable.
Wonderful. And it's a good beginning.
It is. And I think it was just probably coincidental. We didn't realize or we didn't do it with that purpose. I think people like Jogeshwar and Madhav, who initially initiated it and got all this going, it didn't come to the mind that let us do something which let us be a trendsetter. No, let us take an ego out of that trendsetter business. We didn't do that. I think it was gratitude.
Wow.
If I can tell one thing, it was gratitude. Something, you know, we cannot give back what this place has given us. At least the least we can do is be grateful.
See, being in different stages of our careers, we now realize how important and what this place has given us. Now, we now realize the value of the time that we spent here. And that has come from the teachers through Swami, obviously. Yes. Our direct interaction with the teachers, the love, the dedication of the teachers in the primary as well as, because those were our formative years, you know, and during our formative years, the values that have been instilled in us, and these words sound very heavy, you know, like values instilled in us, but that's the fact.
That's the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we, even, you know, whatever we were doing and however important it was, or whatever the thing, or everybody who could make it has made it. And the ones who have not made it,
their hearts are here.
They were, because we're all connected through a group on WhatsApp.
Wow.
Yes. To adding to it, Madhav, Gopal and me, we have been making it after my kids have joined. Similarly, Gopal's kids have joined.
Mm.
And being in this worldly affairs, bang outside in duty, you get so up and down and filled of tension.
Yeah, there is a stress.
It's a rat race outside.
Yeah.
But once we come back here, it is a recharge point where that down, and we felt that, and same as gratitude and being with our mothers who are physically here and the parents.
Yes.
Swami is always here and the teachers, like he's mentioned.
Well, you can feel Swami anywhere, but if you want to express gratitude to the teachers.
To the teachers, gurus.
It has been so overwhelming. I was in tears. I was absolutely in tears day before yesterday as well as today evening when we had gone to the primary school. The amount of love that was showered on us in the primary school as well as the high secondary school. To start with, in the primary school, we were literally told to have lunch. Mm-hmm. A small incident, I told Warden Auntie, Prem Auntie, I love to have Chitranam. And it's been 25 years, 30 years since I have, you know, tasted Chitranam, because you don't get that outside. Mm-hmm. So I'm here for 3 days. So you please tell me which day you're going to make Chitranam for breakfast and I'm going to be there.
Wow.
So she just smiled and then really react to it. Mm-hmm. And then I was busy meeting the other teachers who were there of our times, and lunch is laid out in about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big vessel with freshly prepared Chitranam.
Wow.
Where would you get that? Mm-hmm. Nowhere. Mm-hmm. I just told her that I would like to have, and she had it prepared there and then.
And no message to add to it, no message or nothing was passed on to the teachers. We just walked in like a home.
Yeah, because
and
it was
Admiral was telling Jogi, you should have told me. I told no, Auntie. Had we told, we wanted to enjoy those whatever has been prepared. So, and this motherly love which they showered on us.
In higher secondary school, they had a special assembly session for us with our batch, and we were asked to just go on and speak to the students, just introduce ourselves and just tell them what we
which batch we studied and what sort of you are doing now.
Each of us had decided, okay, we will just go and introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
But I guess each of us took 5 minutes and told them, you know, some of these incidents of what time we spend in the school and what we spend with Swami. And and I'm sure the boys were really pleased with that too.
I think it was something, it wasn't something which any of us prepared or were.
Yeah.
It was just an outpouring of gratefulness and reciprocated by an outpouring of love and affection from the teachers.
Yeah.
I think it's a very unique experience.
I think to give them some words, it was just heart to heart.
It was heart to heart. It was purely H to H. There is nothing, you know, it was.
Seeing the kids clap for us, it was, you know, like that rhythmic clap, exactly what we used to do about 20 or 25 years back. And so we were literally looking at ourselves over there.
So that was brothers Sai Kapoor, Surendra Patnaik and Jogendra Kar. Or rather, Mr. Sai Kapoor, Dr. Surendra Patnaik and Colonel Jogendra Kar, three former students of Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, sharing their takeaways from the school. And what is it that has made them what they are today? A successful doctor, a successful businessman, a successful person in the Navy. And I think that goes to show what the Sri Satya Sai system of education does to anyone who embraces it, who is touched by it, and who goes through it. And I think that answers any question that we think of how to correct what's going wrong in the world today. It is a slow process, but that is the process, the permanent process, where we are re-engineering and we are recreating every individual and recreating them in a manner that they see in them, and the spark of God that they see in them, that reservoir of love, of calmness, of gratitude, of forthrightness and of character, of knowing that if they follow the right path, the path will empower them to be always on the right. So it's really so amazing to see the higher secondary school, which started by Bhagwan way back in the 1980s, producing such amazing individuals. And as I mentioned, that is the solution to all the world problems today. That is the solution to ensure how 9/11 will not repeat again in the history of mankind. So dear listeners, time is running out and I need to stop here. Thank you so much for being with us. And I want to leave you with this thought of knowing that the best way we can bring on that golden age is to ensure that golden values are ingrained into the upcoming generation. And the way to do it is the Satya Sai system of education. And it is happening all over the world today through the Balvikas, through the SSC classes, through the Sai schools, through the Sai colleges, and through every devotee, every parent who is touched by the love of Bhagwan. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day, and it has been extremely a gratifying experience offering all these programs to you on this lovely Thursday. As always, do keep writing to us, listener@radiosai.org. That is where we connect with you. So finally, a loving Sai Ram and a sweet goodbye from all of us at Team Radio Sai. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and now we move on to our regular program schedule. Sai Ram.